Good morning to everyone. Certainly thankful for your presence this morning. We had 66 in the first crowd this morning, and I know this number is not as big as that one, but it's still a good number, and I'm sure that the quality is every bit as good as that first crowd. So we appreciate you being here, appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come out and worship God as we're commanded to do. If you're here and visiting with us, we want to invite you back on any occasion that you might have to be out and worship with us. I always find it interesting. I don't know, Sherman and I hadn't talked, and he mentioned in his prayer twice the foundation, one that I think the foundation is our what we put our faith in, what we put our hope in, and it is the foundation really of the universe, Jesus Christ and God the Creator of all these things that we have to enjoy as far as the beauty of the scenery that we see, all the Bradford pears that look like big white snowballs, and that's all the things that we have to enjoy on this side of eternity. But that's what my lesson is going to be about this morning, is making sure that we stand on the foundation. Excuse me. Sometimes we may ask ourselves the question, why are there cracks in the foundation of the church? Well, it would certainly be that we could answer that real quick. It's not because God is moving or changing as the foundation of our stability, is it? So if it's not God moving and it's us and God in a relationship, who's doing the moving? Obviously, it would be us as individuals. And sometimes we encounter people, for some reason or another, they don't want to stay standing on the foundation. They decide that the foundation wasn't as solid as what they thought it was, or they decide that they want to do something different than standing on the foundation, and then that can cause you to have cracks in your visual of the church or how you feel about the church. And oftentimes men want to do things outside of the will of God or outside of the authority of God, and then you get off to where the foundation again becomes a little bit shaky, a little bit unstable. Maybe it's got cracks or holes in it, and it's because of man. It's not because, again, that God is moving. And that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning, is making sure that we're standing on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and not on anything else, not putting our hope or trust or confidence in any other place. Start out, we might look at the definition of foundation. It's the lowest, low-bearing part of a building, typically below ground level. Of course, we're talking about a structure such as a house or a office building or what have you when we talk about a foundation in that way. But I say this to get our minds going in that direction. We understand, being people that have built houses and built buildings, the importance of that foundation, making sure that the foundation is really solid, that it goes down to something that's not going to move and it's not going to be shaken much unless there's a major earthquake or something of that nature. Synonyms for the word foundation are footing, foot, base, substructure, understructure, underpinning, bottom, or bedrock. Now, just to get our minds going in the direction of this foundation of Jesus Christ is the reason that I'm pointing these out. I know you're not here for a building class, and I wouldn't be wanting somebody to give you one anyway, but I do have a lot of understanding of buildings, and I have been involved in building several buildings and houses with Brenda's dad. Whenever we first got married, I worked with him a lot, and he would average building two houses a year besides all the other things that he did. Very industrious fellow. But with all that said, I want us to think about this foundation of Jesus Christ and the importance of it being solid and being something that we do stand on, and we don't deviate from that. We don't go away from that. So again, just think about this foundation maybe for a house here, and how that they have dug down and took the topsoil off, and I don't know if these iron rods are for, I'm assuming there's going to be basement walls that are going to be connected to that steel that's coming up out of that footer. But in some cases, if you're just going to have a crawl space, wood would be the next thing that would be attached to that. But I believe based on how deep they are in the ground, they're probably going to have basement walls here. But they've dug the ground out, they've established a foundation. And that's where it's at, right there in that location. Now, if they were to go over here to the side after they've done all this and say, you know, I think I like this spot over here where we haven't done anything better. I think I'll just move the house over there and not spend all that money for all that concrete and all that foundation in that footer. It would be much like a Christian who has started on that solid rock of Jesus Christ, and then for some reason or another say, you know, I know what the Bible tells me that I need to do, but I'm going to go over here and do something else. And we would see the example when it was coming to our pocketbooks and spending that money. We'd say, well, that's foolish for somebody to go to all that effort, all that expense, and then say, I'm just going to go over here and move my foundation over here, and I'm not even really going to have a foundation because I don't want to re-spend all that money. But there's a lot of similarities to that in people who come to Christ and they understand what's required of them to become a Christian. They understand that they've been taught by the Word of God, the Gospel, and they make application of that to their life, and they accept the plan of salvation. They become a Christian, and then they start saying, well, you know, I just can't go along with that teaching in the Bible. I don't think that teaching's right. So I'm just going to go over here and move. I will stand on something that I dreamed up, brother so-and-so has dreamed up. It'd be very similar to us putting a foundation down for a house and then saying, no, I think I'll just move over here. So just to get our minds thinking along the lines of this lesson this morning, think about that. We wouldn't do that, would we? So why do people have such an easy time with just moving off the foundation of Christ whenever they say, well, I know that the Bible says that, but I'm going to go over here and we'll move off of what's solid, what I know is solid, what I know is right according to the Word of God. And again, we just don't think about doing that when it comes to physical things, but from a spiritual standpoint, people don't have no problem with it at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there in verse 9, beginning, it says, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Sometimes what people want to do is they see themselves as being the master builder, but they don't go to the master, which is Jesus Christ, to get their instruction. Now you think about if you were going to build a house in Rockcastle County, let's just say for an example, and Paul Rice, who wasn't, I think he's retired now, isn't he, Chris? Somewhat. He's trying to retire and people won't let him, we'll put it that way. He's a reputable builder, and he's what would be referred to as a master builder, and he knows what he's doing. So people hire him when they're interested in building or constructing a house because he's got a good reputation. There's many over in our area. Tim Childers is one that lives over in Waynesburg that has a really good reputation of being a good builder. But my point is, as Paul talks to these brethren here at Corinth, he says, I was the master builder. He wasn't saying that I'm what you build upon, but I am the master builder, and I'm laying this foundation that's based upon the foundation from the gospel, not based upon what Paul that men ought to be doing, but it's laid upon the foundation which was laid by Jesus Christ in his ministry, in his inspired word, and in his being able to pass this on to these inspired writers. And he says, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. What does that mean, another buildeth thereon? Well, you know, just like now, here we are some 2,000 years later, we're still building on the same foundation, aren't we? We're going back to the same foundation and the same principles if we're sticking to the Bible as they were using at that time. But if we're not, then we may be way off course from what the master builder said or what Jesus Christ said for us to do and what Paul said in his inspired writings for us to do. And then we could be way off course and we could be getting way removed from the solid. Oftentimes people find themselves in situations when people start questioning them about why they do what they do in the worship, or why they don't do this, or why they do that, or why that they believe this, or why they believe that. They find themselves in a position to where they don't have that. And then they find themselves out in an area to where they're questioning themselves, well, why do we do that? Or why do we teach that? Or why do we believe that? Oftentimes when people ask questions about what they're doing in worship service, they say, well, I don't know. I'll have to go ask the preacher. Well, that's not good, is it? You need to know why you're doing what you're doing in worship service. You need to understand that. And you need to know that it's based upon that solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We need to be following after Him and being, we need to be connected to Him. We need to understand the seriousness of staying on that foundation and not being removed from that foundation. And don't let our foundation, which is Jesus Christ, crumble out from under us because we want to go to one side or the other. It says, but notice what he says here, and this is the main point I wanted to bring out. Sometimes I rattle on, but he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. He's telling the brethren there at Corinth, he's saying, you've got to be careful of the building that you're building upon and know that it's on the right foundation. Is that not what he's saying? He's saying, take heed. Be careful about the thing that you're doing. And again, master builders are particular to make sure that they go by the blueprint, that they go by the instructions of the architect, because if they don't, then they can run into complications, right? I remember one time I helped Brenda's dad build several houses right after we were married, and I learned a lot about building from him because he was a master builder. He could build a house from the start to the finish. And he could wire it, he could plumb it, he could lay brick on it if he so desired. He could do all those things in building a house. We were framing up Brenda's sister's house, Linda's, and her husband Doug. And he realized whenever we got the subfloor laid up on the top of the basement walls, a lot of work went into laying that subfloor. But he measured it and he realized that that floor was out of square from corner to corner, 1 inch. And he says, I've really messed up. He said, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to take this subfloor back up and take all this loose, and we're going to have to square this house up. It's just not acceptable for it to be out of square. And I was thinking, you take a house, the footage of it would probably be about like this auditorium. And I was thinking, from this corner to that corner, you're off an inch, and we're going to do 2 days' work to correct that. Guess what? That's what we was going to do, and we did do that because he was particular about things being the way they was. And he always said, you know, if you let it be off an inch here and then it makes it be off 2 inches over here, and time you get to the roof, you may be off 6 inches, and people will walk by and say, that Tommy's not much of a builder. And he took pride in what he did. So we took all the pains and the patience of taking that loose and a lot of effort to square that floor up and got it perfect. And I always think back on that, of how important that was. And you can make that application to falling and building upon the foundation of Christ. Do we care if we're off an inch? Do we worry about if we're off a little bit on serving God? Does it matter if we get off from what the Scripture says? Well, you know, if we're going to trust in Him and He's going to be our firm foundation, it should matter, shouldn't it? It should matter if we're going to start looking for another foundation to build upon, or we're going to lay this foundation with Christ and then move over here and say, no, I'm standing over here now. I'm standing on this foundation, which doesn't have anything to substantiate it or to back it up. And so many people find themselves in that position. So, again, we have to take heed and be careful that we're building on the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:8 says, God gives us the grace to begin to build our lives upon the foundation of Jesus Christ as the center of our lives. He and He alone is the only foundation that will never crack or weaken. He is our unchanging God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The reason that we build good footers and good foundations when we're going to build a house is because we want it to stand, don't we? We want it to have durability. We want it to have long-lastingness, longevity. We want it to last a long time because we're signing our life away maybe to build it, and we want it to be a good, strong place for us and our family to live so that we can have a place that we feel safe and secure in. That's the reason we go down in that ground and we put that foundation down. Well, think about that and compare that to our foundation of Jesus Christ in our spiritual well-being. Do we understand the seriousness of having that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and making Him the center of that foundation, the rock that we stand upon? You know, people can easily detect if Christ is not your rock, if He's not your foundation. You can say one thing and think you can do something else, but people pick up on that. They also pick up on, just like I did with my father-in-law, that he wasn't going to go on up with that house till he got the problem that was at hand corrected. And I have a great amount of respect for him for that. So what we're building upon is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's something that should mean something to us, because we can relate that to how we like to get longevity. All these structures that we build, the great architects that design these big skyscrapers, all that stuff someday is going to burn up in fervent heat, isn't it? But they still put a lot of emphasis on making it strong and making it last. And they've got men that can figure out the tolerance that those tall buildings have for a certain amount of wind pressure and all those things. And those buildings stand there, and you look up at them and you think, how in the world did they stand in those hard windstorms? We're standing on something a lot more solid than that, folks, and that is Jesus Christ. Reading on in 1 Corinthians verse 11 to 15, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid. That's very important, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will reveal by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Pretty deep scripture there, isn't it? A lot in that scripture. So now we're talking about the things that's going to be built upon that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And he's saying basically that if you're going to put any emphasis on any other thing that does not build upon Jesus Christ as that foundation, it's not going to amount to much. It's going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. And he breaks it down. And, you know, I used the illustration earlier. Man has always built upon the things that he had at his access that he could get. And you can go to, I've seen pictures and been around places, historic places, where they built log cabins, and all they could find for the foundation was to find a limestone rock and lay it there, and that was to keep the wood up off the ground and give it a little bit of distance in between the ground and the bottom of the log cabin to keep those logs from rotting. So man is always, and basically it's the same today. In other words, those people back then, they couldn't call ready mix and say, bring me out 3 yards of concrete, could they? They had to use what they had at their availability. Today, we can call ready mix, and we do that because, again, we want to make that solid. We want to make it something that's long-lasting, and we want to give it longevity. And we think of that concrete as being something that's solid that bugs can't eat and so forth. But think about the things like straw and hay that he mentions. Describe those that say they are Christians but don't live by Christian values. They try to find their identity in their job or in their possessions, living for the feel-good moments. You know, all these things that people build these massive houses out of and structures out of, they're subject to fail, aren't they? If you don't believe that, last week I watched the news where those tornadoes hit down in Alabama, and it looked like it had went through a really upscale subdivision. It looked like houses, in my estimation, would be $500,000 and up in cost, and it had just demolished them. The tornado had took the attics and maybe the second floor, and it had just strode it out across the other houses down there. Five people, I believe the last count I had gotten killed in that. And you think about, people put a lot of emphasis on that structure. They put a lot of emphasis on doing it right and making sure that it's done right. In just a matter of seconds, it's just wiped away. And I think what Paul is telling these brethren here at Corinth is, if you are building on any other thing than Christ being your foundation, it's not going to last. It's not going to amount to anything. And when the earth is destroyed with fervent heat, so will it be. But those works that you do based upon the true foundation, the solid foundation, Jesus Christ, they'll have eternity to them. And that's really important for us to know. Another one that he mentions there is, would we begin to compromise and make excuses when it comes to why we don't attend church services? We lose focus on what's important. And again, it's very easy for us to do, especially in the midst of the coronavirus. It's very easy for us to just get out of the habit of going to church. And we have to be careful about that, don't we? We have to make sure that we're attached to that solid foundation. And I admonish and admire those who have kept themselves safe and are back in church, and I admonish and encourage those who have kept themselves safe to get back in church if you haven't already in the upcoming months. As people start moving around and doing all the things that they done before the corona a year ago, school systems are back functioning, restaurants are opening up, businesses are opening up, and you see a lot more people out when you pass the parking lots of those places, then why shouldn't our spirituality be just as important to us? And remember, if it's not based upon that solid foundation, it's just temporary. It's not going to last. Another thing he mentions there is precious stones. Here our foundation is no longer in Christ. It's just a Christian lifestyle that we put on for all to see. Listening to Christian music, praying so others can see us, or pray only when we need our prayers answered, we no longer have a close personal relationship with God. And I think all these examples, Paul's trying to make a connection here to these people. What are you building upon? Has it got longevity? Has it got stability? Is it going to make you stable? Those houses, those big houses that those men built down in Alabama, they were built right. But when the storms came, and think about the storms that's going to come in our lives as Christians, there are going to be things that are storms to us, and they're going to batter the corners, and they're going to batter the strongholds, and they're going to make it really, really put us to the test as God's people. Are we going to be able to withstand those things if our hope is in precious stones, if our hope is in that wood, if our hope is in that hay or stubble? If that's where our hope is, we won't be able to withstand the storms of this life. But we will be able to withstand the storms of this life if our hope is based upon that true foundation, that solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Ever since the beginning of time, men have chased after silver and gold, haven't they? And he mentions, we put our trust elsewhere. We have ceased to grow and aggressively pursue God as we once did when our foundation in Christ was firm. So again, we can think that we're solid and that we're standing on that solid foundation, but at any time, that's subject to change, isn't it? For any person, for whatever reason. And we've seen that be the case. I know all of you have, as well as myself. Sometimes people lose sight of that and they go to putting their confidence in these precious metals. The other one mentioned, of course, was gold. With this, we think we are building our foundation with the very best money can buy. If you think that our foundation is firm and cannot crack as a Christian gets further from the Lord and no longer makes him the center of their life, they begin looking for material things to act as the foundation. But in reality, it is only material and will soon vanish away. What's going to happen to all the gold that's laying up in Fort Knox whenever the Lord comes back and this earth is burned up with fervent heat? Will it mean anything to anybody? Will it matter, all that precious gold that they guard up there, with spend thousands and thousands of dollars a year just guarding it and trying to keep it safe because it's a precious metal. It's of great value. Men have killed for years, since the dawn of time, for gold, haven't they? They have killed, robbed, and stole to get gold. And he's saying these things are not a foundation to build upon. These are not the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And again, these things are destructive. They can be destroyed, just like those houses that we mentioned. A crack in our spiritual foundation can take many forms. First of all, our thinking might be cracked a little bit, or it may be off. Thinking I can justify my wrong choices, and we often forget that most of the time our wrong choices affects our family, friends, and our loved ones. You know, people oftentimes make choices about, I've been guilty of it, I can speak from experience on a lot of this stuff. Oftentimes you make choices on maybe it's a business endeavor, maybe it's something that you want to go after or acquire. And once you've signed the dotted line and signed your life away for so many years and you got big payment every month that you got to make. And you start getting into that about 6 months or a year, and you start realizing, man, this is really causing me to be away from my family more than I intended for it to. It's really causing me not to have the time to serve God as I would like to. This is a choice that I made, and my thinking here was wrong because it's distracting me from the important things. First being God, second being family. You know, oftentimes people get those things kind of mixed up, and once they've made that obligation out of a matter of pride or ego, well, I can't back up, can't undo it, not going to undo it, I'm going to just hang on, and then they're kind of enslaved to that thing, and they start making excuses of why that it needs to be that way. Character, what kind of person am I representing? Is it Christ-like, or does it want to lean towards the world so that we can fit in and not be made fun of? We all have a desire to fit in, don't we? Especially our young people, they come under a lot of peer pressure to fit in with the other young people at school. Maybe the clothes that they're wearing, maybe it's the hairstyle, maybe it's the jewelry, or maybe it's the kind of automobile they have, what have you. But people feel pressure to kind of fit in, to be like those peers around them. Whenever really maybe the best thing we could do is be an example of those people by representing Christ when nobody else is doing that. And I think that's something that could cause there to be a spiritual crack in our foundation, that we want to fit in with the world instead of trying to conform the world to what God says that we ought to be. It's really easy to do that, and I know that's another thing. I've experienced that feeling to want to fit in, and know that people measure men by how much success that they have, how much wealth they have, and those sort of things. That's all wrong thinking according to the Word of God. Focus. Have our hearts lost focus of what's really important? Has the distractions of the world taken our eyes off of God? And again, it's hard to be focused on two things at one time, isn't it? You ever try to look through a pair of binoculars and you're trying to focus in on that deer or that wild turkey and try to look out of the corner of your eye over here at something else? You can't do it. And you can't hardly be focused on two things at once. We think that we can. We think that we're invincible sometimes. Man does. He thinks that he can multitask and he can do all these things and do a good job at them all, when that's really not the case, and sometimes our focus is in the wrong place. Faith. Has our faith weakened in the past year? Have we lost our vision and hope of what was so important to us? Have we left behind where we once was and going into a totally different direction? You know, there's a danger that we can fall behind spiritually, can't we? You know, if you don't have school in session for a year, it's only natural that you're going to get behind, aren't you? Teachers, people in the educational system understand that. If there's no teaching and no educating going on for a year, then that person has lost that time frame that is very valuable. Well, so is it with our spiritual well-being, isn't it? That we can lose some spiritual ground that we have gained before the COVID-19. And again, that's just something for us to think about. We're all guilty of trying to make up lost time. When I worked over at Danville, oftentimes I would get started late to work, and where I would want to make up the time, the 15 minutes that I was late was in the worst place, and that was on the road. It's the only place I had to make it up. And I might drive a little faster on Highway 39 going up over Crab Orchard's Knob, and that curve. I might try to make up the time that I was running behind it. We find ourselves doing that a lot when it comes to physical things, saying, well, I got behind, and I want to get caught back up to where I need to be, so I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that to do that. Well, what about our spirituality? If we've gotten behind and we don't try to catch up, or we don't at least try to get back to where we were, we're digressing, aren't we? We're going to be going backwards, aren't we? We have to at least try to get back to where we was, and at least get back on whatever pace of growth spiritually that we were achieving. We need to try to obtain that, don't we? And staying out of church and staying away from church and staying away from those who like precious faith is not going to accomplish that. So hopefully, again, as we see all other areas of the economy and of our culture opening back up, hopefully we'll see the need to get back into worship with those of like precious faith. God will hold you up through the storms of life. He will always and forever stand firm. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's the song that we sing. Do you like to be on solid footing? Do you like to have solid footing? We do, don't we? You know, Psalms 40, verse 2, the psalmist says, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. You know, when we were sinners, we were in a mucky, mire, helpless state, weren't we? We really couldn't do much for ourselves. But whenever we accepted God's plan of salvation and we accepted that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God, He provided us some firm footing for us to get up on and take a stand, didn't He? But sometimes we have a tendency to ease back off into that muck and that mire, and we can find ourselves right back in that helpless state if we're not standing on that firm foundation. I like a firm place to stand. I know Chris and a lot of others here, they go hiking and stuff, and there's places that become a little bit treacherous when that bank is giving away from you because it's rained so much, or there's loose rocks and you step on them and they give away with you. That's not really a secure place where you feel secure. You like to have a good solid foundation to walk on, don't you? What about from a spiritual standpoint? Do you like to be able to stand on something solid? Because again, if you're standing on something other than Jesus Christ, one man's thoughts is as good as another. If you're standing on some man's creed or doctrine, one is about as good as another. And they're all subject to give way with you. Another thing that the Bible talks about for our stability is that Jesus is our cornerstone, our solid foundation. And again, that just gives to the ideal that we have to have something solid in our lives that we can stand on, and if it's not Jesus Christ, it's not going to stand. We're not going to withstand the storms, the temptations, the obstacles that come our way. And we're not going to be able to withstand all the things that come against us to batter us if we're not built up in Jesus Christ and He's our cornerstone that we're standing on. And that's where we get our stability. We can build our life and an eternal destiny upon a foundation that is unshakable and unmovable. If we build on Jesus Christ as our absolute focus of our lives, we will not fall. And again, you know, we can get our focus off sometimes, can't we? We can get off course of where we need to be. It may be the big house that the tornadoes took down that somebody was so focused on. It may be some other entrapment that the devil throws our way, but we need to be standing on that solid, stable ground, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, 5 and 7, You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What he's saying there is we are lively stones. We're actually alive and in action for Jesus Christ. And if we're on that foundation, if we're connected to that foundation, and we're staying connected to that foundation, we're going to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, and we're going to be a spiritual house. In other words, when somebody has a spiritual question, or they say, you know, I know Chris over there, he goes to church over at Providence, and I believe he's a pretty sound Bible student. I believe he knows the Bible. And I've got a Bible question. I'm going to go ask Chris, just like somebody that had a question about building a house might go to Paul Rice or somebody of a reputable master builder. We are a spiritual house, and that's what we're supposed to be. And the way that we're going to be built up is by staying in accordance with God's Word, getting away from that foundation, moving off of that foundation, going away from that foundation will not get us where we need to be. And he refers to us there as a holy priesthood. And he says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. That's what we're doing this morning, isn't it, in worship service? That's what God wants us to do, is offer up spiritual sacrifices that's been revealed in His Word. That song we sang, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, All Other Ground is Sinking Sand. I just ask you this morning, are you standing on the solid rock, or are you standing on something else? Is there something else that maybe you realize don't have the stability that you would like to have? I think Sherman mentioned also in his prayer that people are looking for stability, aren't they? In unstable times, people look for things that give them stability to where they feel stable, where they feel like they're standing on something solid. I hope this morning for you that that is Jesus Christ, that solid foundation. But if it isn't, and you've never made the decision to do that, or for some reason or another, you've got off of the solid rock, and you're back in the muck and the mire of sin, you have an advocate with the Father, and you can come back to Him. But if you're an alien sinner, and you've never come to the knowledge and understanding, but you would like to receive Christ into your life this morning and make Him your solid foundation, we offer you the opportunity to do that. If you've heard, and you believe, and you're willing to repent and make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and then be buried in the water of David baptism, you too can be connected to that solid foundation, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're subject to heaven's invitation in any way, we ask you to come as together we stand and as we sing.